My magic thrummed through me in strong waves. Austin stood beside me, waiting for Neve's cue to enter the room. She had apparently taken over. When she gave a nod, Sebastian entered first, putting up a defensive spell just in case. He may not have accepted my gargoyle's offer of a connection, but I could feel the emotions of those around me now, so I knew he was in Elliot Graves mode. His emotions had stagnated, as though he didn't feel anything at all. Nessa started to go in next, but Broken Sue covered her shoulder with his hand.
Let me.
He gently moved her to the side and entered the room ahead of her.
Quite the gentleman, cotton in front of a lady.
Don't you listen to her, Mr. Gorilla. I am positively swooning.
She flashed me a smile before bounding in after him. Neve put out her hand, peering into the room.
Not yet, Jesse.
She glanced around us.
Earl, we'll need you guarding the door. Right in front, like. Put on your best disguise so he won't see.
Mr. Tom puffed up his chest.
I do not answer to you, woman. Miss?
I shot Austin a bewildered look. Neve clearly subscribed to the power of eccentricity.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Ulrich jogged back in, carrying Neve's cooler. He stopped near her, probably hoping the errand granted him admission into the room.
Austin Steele, do you have a chair? A folding one. Battered up would be good.
He nodded to one of his people, who took off at a jog. Neve then directed Ulrich to join the others.
What is it you're aiming for?
She glanced in after him, then waited for Mr. Tom to finish donning a brown coat with the sleeves rolled up, a pipe, and then the Elvis glasses with the glued-on sideburns. He turned and took his post by the door.
No, not here, you donkey! On the inside, in case he gets loose-like.
That is preposterous. That room is going to be crowded. I'll guard you from the outside.
Then what is the point of you looking like that? Go on in, you git.
Just go.
I turned from Mr. Tom to Neve. How about a doll, too? Or a homicidal gnome? We already look crazy. Why not extend ourselves a bit?
If them things wouldn't have killed us in the car ride over, I would have. Now, Jesse, listen here. I shouldn't have to tell you that the mage in there is a very bad man. He brings people in to be tortured. The people he works for are the most cutthroat magical people you'll hopefully never meet. These people would sell Edgar to vampire hunters for sport. They'd rip off the gargoyle's wings. They'd try to burn down Ivy House and surely burn down the town without a care. People like them are the reason the name Broken Sue fits the man. Are you with me so far?
She waited for me to nod.
Now, I'd wager Sebastian is going to ask you to use that nightmare spell we tried on Edgar. The one that still makes him randomly hide in the bushes. Remember?
I grimaced. It was hard to forget that spell. Poor Edgar. He'd volunteered, knowing what it was supposed to do, but I didn't think any of us had been prepared for its potency.
If you're only going to scare this mage, then you need to give him the shock of his entire life. A shock that will never wear away. And you can do it with that nightmare spell. That room now has all our weirdest people in it. They'd make a mage wary on a normal day. Add the intensity of alpha shifters and an actual shift or two, and we should have this. But make no mistake, this is the first battle in what will likely be a nasty war. Just like yesterday, you need to show strong. The entire territory is on the line if you fail.
My magic pounded in time with my heart. I could feel my gargoyle moving within me, demanding action.
Let the gargoyle speak. Let her out to play. This is her arena. You need to honor that.
She held my gaze for another moment, nodded, took the chair from Austin's guy who'd just run in, and went into the room.
Ulrich, get me a beer. I want to watch the show in comfort.
Austin moved to the door and waited for me to go through first.
I'll be here if you need me.
He rested his hand on my upper back while his thumb stroked across the base of my neck. His magic swirled with mine, comforting and invigorating and delicious. But I could sense that he agreed with Neve. He was letting his animal take the lead, accepting all the vicious darkness the beast would bring forth. He was inviting me to play with him. And my gargoyle was stretching forward to do just that.
I hate this. I hate that I couldn't just be magical and still be chill and left alone.
So do a lot of magical people. And that's why we're gonna work toward giving peace to others before taking it for ourselves. We'll get there, though. Eventually, we'll find our paradise. I know we will.
I breathed deeply and nodded. He was right. I had the power to protect people, mages as well as shifters. If we didn't stand against the people abusing their power, who would? Who could? Okay. Low light greeted me, and bodies moved out of the way as I entered. A man sat in the center of the space on a wooden chair. His hands were secured behind his back, and his legs were tied to the chair. Even seated, he clearly had some girth to him, strong shoulders and thick thighs. He was the muscle, all right. He could easily beat someone into submission if his magic didn't do the trick. Edgar waited just behind him, his hands held at the height of the man's shoulders and his fingers draping a bit, like he was a vampire in an old movie about to prey on his victim.
You can weaponize flowers if you're very good. I, myself, am not yet that good. It's a tricky business. You have to sing to them, you see. And some of my peers have hinted that I have a voice like a croaking frog. But Hollis has a lovely voice, and of course, the Alpha is an exquisite singer. Sometimes I just sit in the flowers, deep in the shadows, so I'm not seen, of course, and listen to him sing and play for Miss Jessie. What a treat. It is well worth my newfound fear of flesh-eating crickets. Isn't it amazing what the mind conjures up when trapped in a magical spell?
The man licked his lips and his brow furrowed a bit. His gaze zipped to the side, but he didn't turn his head toward Edgar. It was like he was trying to ignore the vampire, but the process was playing hell on his nerves. Edgar paused, noticing me.
Oh, hello, Miss Jessie. I was just explaining to our guest the logistics of a good garden. There really are a lot of moving parts. It's hard to see that from the outside.
The mage's dark eyes found me. He gave me a once-over before lingering on my face. Recognition curled within his emotions. He'd pinpointed who I was.
Everyone here is going to die for this.
Die for what? Having a nice chat with our new friend?
How would they even know who was in this room?
Sebastian braced his hands on his hips in apparent confusion. It was clear they'd done this a time or two.
If you miraculously broke out of this binding, and somehow broke out of this magically protected box, you've already shown you can't handle a few shifters. How would you hope to escape the territory?
Good question.
Nessa stopped in front of the captive, bent, and looked at his face.
I think he's bluffing, that's what I think.
You think I'm just talking about the people in this room? If I don't come back with the woman, my boss will take out this whole dingy, backwater, flea-bitten town. No one will miss these filthy animals anyway.
Suddenly, I was standing in the place where his chair had been, and he was crashing against the wall behind him. The chair broke when it hit the ground, spilling the man out of it. His ankles were still bound to the chair legs, though, and his hands bound behind his back. My heart thudded in my chest, but it was nothing compared to the surge of power that felt like it was stretching my skin to the point of pain.
That is not how you address this town!
He flopped, trying to pull his hands into a usable position. I didn't give him a chance. I hammered him with magic, red tinging my vision. He slammed back against the wall again, his head thunking. I sent a spell that would make him feel like he was being splintered into pieces. He gritted his teeth and determination pulsed around him. He was clearly used to pain inflicted by spells. Maybe he'd even prepared for this sort of scenario. He wasn't going to yield easily. Nessa hop-jogged over to him. She bent and grabbed his slicked-back ponytail, yanking his head back so she could look into his face. Blood dripped from a cut in his left eyebrow and a slice in his lip. That had been from crashing against the wall. The magic I'd unleashed didn't leave physical wounds.
Let's try that again, shall we? Only this time, don't insult the people she loves. It upsets her. She was a Jane not that long ago, after all. She still has some sentimentalities. We're working on it.
He spat. She yanked her head away just in time. She'd clearly been expecting that. My magic crashed forward again. I was powerless to control the surge. Nessa quickly rolled away, her anticipation abilities top-notch.
Whoops! Wrong answer, my love.
I unleashed another series of crushing magical blows, blunt but all sorts of powerful. Wave after wave hammered into him, stealing his breath and spinning him around. My gargoyle rode me hard, wanting to shift and claw, to exact a blood price, to end him. I wrestled for control. This was not the way. Killing him and turning his body over to Neve, who would probably send his head back to his bosses or something else horribly gruesome, wouldn't get us information. We were flying blind when it came to Momar, and this was one of his grunts. Granted, it was a grunt at the bottom of a long chain of command, but we still needed what was in this guy's head. Not to mention that I'd been the one to say no to torture. I needed to get a hold of myself. Breathing heavily, I barely managed to shut off the torrent of magic. I took a step back and rolled my shoulders, my whole body tingling.
You might want to watch what you say and do. I'm a little shaky on my self-control right now.
The room was utterly silent as the mage pushed himself up. Determination still rolled off him, and he was ignoring the pain. Oh yeah, he'd been trained for this. He was tolerating this treatment like someone with experience.
The boss is gonna be a bit surprised that the rumors are true.
He spat blood to the side.
You got the power. That much power. And they'll use you up good and proper. Filthy creature and all.
This time, it wasn't me who lost control. The mage's eyes widened as Austin stormed toward him. The man's feet scrabbled and he tried to backpedal even though there was a wall behind him. Austin wrapped his large hand around the man's throat and hoisted him clean off the ground. Rage and menace and pain ate at my mate. I knew he was reacting to the images that must have rushed through his mind when the mage spoke of what they would do to me. The man's face turned red as his air supply was effectively cut off. He shook his bound hands behind him and kicked his legs.
Neve, I need your chair.
I was still struggling for my own self-control.
Of course.
She dragged it over, beer in hand, and set it between me and the wall.
Austin, don't kill him. Put him down.
My mate walked the man over before dropping him onto the seat.
I don't think he was expecting that.
Nessa tilted her head toward Sebastian. He wore that strange, lopsided grin.
I don't think so, no.
He's been bombarded with magic before, sure. But an out-of-control alpha shifter? I don't think that's in his vocabulary. He looks a little shaken.
Fuck you!
The man was obviously starting to fray. That was a good thing. We were making an impact.
That wasn't out of control.
Edgar drifted over again. He stood like he had before, with his hands draped in that strange way, and bent a little to whisper in the man's ear.
If we get time, I'll tell you all about doily making.
The man flinched away. His weight shifted on the seat, which overturned, sending him crashing to the ground.
What kind of a circus is this?
He flailed. It wasn't clear if he was trying to right himself or if he was having a stress-induced tantrum. Nessa crouched next to the guy, and Austin glanced at Broken Sue. Taking the unspoken command, Broken Sue stepped forward and planted his feet right next to Nessa. He didn't crouch, just loom dangerously. It was enough.
Get away!
The man's flailing turned into a strange sort of scooting, half-rolling attempt to escape. Nessa pointed at Broken Sue.
Terrifying, right? You never really get used to their presence. It's unsettling in a very thrilling way. I love the danger of it. But then I'm on their side. See what I'm saying?
I don't think he does, Captain.
Sebastian picked up the Ivy House spellbook Edgar had brought in and handed it to me.
Captain?
The man's gaze ripped from Broken Sue and fastened on Nessa. He obviously knew it was the notorious nickname of Elliot Graves' companion in crime.
Captain?
His gaze darted around the room. He was probably looking to see if one of them was Graves.
Oops, I outed you. Do you think he knows who I am? Disguises only work so well. Ask Mr. Tom there by the door. Plain as day in his getup. Delusional as all get out.
Get up! Get out!
Edgar did a weird sort of crab walk closer to the mage.
Ooh, don't you just love wordplay?
His simpering smile showed his long canines.
I find it marvelous.
What the?
The mage bent backward away from Edgar, but clearly not wanting to retreat far enough to bump into Broken Sue.
Usually, we like to dangle our captives by their feet from hooks and torture information out of them.
Sebastian glanced at the ceiling.
But this room doesn't have a hook.
Thankfully, it does have a gargoyle.
Nessa winked at the mage.
You know the drill, right? Tell us what we want to know and it won't get ugly. Bonus, you'll get to walk away from here. Isn't that something? You'll get to keep your balls too, probably. I'm just guessing there. We aren't allowed to really hurt you. Boss's orders.
The man looked in confusion at Sebastian.
Nope, not that boss.
She pointed at me.
I've got a lady boss now. Cool, right? Girl power.
She made a fist.
So, here we go. A super easy one first. Who do you work for?
The man went to spit at her again. Nessa didn't get a chance to move out of the way. Broken Sue reached down almost lazily, grabbed the guy by his black t-shirt, and heaved him. The man struck the back wall hard, shaking the room, then crumpled to the ground. He didn't flail this time. He just curled up into a ball, probably hoping the vampire wouldn't be back for more idle chatter about odd things.
Ugh, I know how that feels. Wanting to curl into the fetal position around these guys. It's intense. I get it. They're taking it easy on you, though, my friend.
She won't.
He jerked his head at me.
This next spell is very fun. You haven't seen it before, trust me. This is old magic.
Who do you work for?
Anyone worth the air they breathe knows who I work for. It's no secret.
That's why I said the question was super easy. I'm establishing a rapport. Do you not know how this works?
Maybe this is his first time.
I remember my first time. It wasn't very fun, either. I was with this clown of a guy, and he was all fumbling hands and whole confusion. Oh, are we talking about torture here? Sorry.
Sebastian huffed out a laugh as he pointed at the spell in the book.
Remember how this goes, Jesse? You need to lock in on your target and use the full range of your power.
Ha! Well, I think I'll just step away now.
Edgar bent at the waist and waved down at the mage.
I think I know which spell she's going to use, and I don't want to accidentally get hit in the crossfire. There are a lot of odd things in this room. With that spell, they would traumatize me for life. Good luck!
He gave the man a supportive smile and drifted away.
The vampire is really good at this. Let's keep him savvy.
That's a dark path, Captain. A strange, dark path with possibly no escape.
A can popped somewhere off to the side. Neve on her second beer.
This whole situation is...
I shook my head, re-familiarizing myself with a spell. I'd only done it that once.
It's perfect! It is absolutely perfect from top to bottom. I have to hand it to Neve. She brought in all the right players.
You might have caught me, but you won't catch the next guy. They're gonna get her, and then they're going to pry her.
He was dangling in the air at the end of Austin's hand before anyone could flinch. Austin rammed him repeatedly against the wall this time, his rage not on any sort of leash.
Never speak about her like that again. If any of you so much as lay a hand on her, I'll tear your arms and legs off and throw you in a lake.
Fear drifted off almost everyone in the room, a reaction to Austin's unspeakable menace. Nessa reached back, grabbing Broken Sue's shirt. Sebastian shivered where he stood.
Come on, Jesse, hurry now. This guy is already in a walking nightmare, but this spell will really send him over the edge. We're not killing him, but let's give him a good scare so he can tell his boss how off-kilter and terrifying this place is.
I ran my hand across my forehead, trying to focus my thoughts.
Honestly, the mage should have expected that. We learn from our mistakes or we end up getting choked by the Shifter King again.
Drop him, Austin.
I started working my magic through the movements in my hands and body. The spell fired across the room and sank into the mage's chest. This particular spell was fast-acting. We'd had Edgar racing around the woods within 30 seconds, screaming that the grasshoppers were going to eat him alive. For a moment, nothing happened. Then the man started thrashing.
Broken Sue, can you shift into your other form?
Neve set down her beer and started to strip.
I have a form that'll work right nicely.
Neve shifted into her little nightmare gremlin form. She opened her mouth to show rows upon rows of sharp white teeth. The man's eyes got wider and wider. Sebastian fired off a few magical spells, casting shadows and throwing sparks of light to further throw the mage off kilter. Neve skittered around him, ran over his lap, and then bit into his arm. The mage attempted to get up, but fell over again, butting up against the wall.
No. 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 No.
He flinched when the magic flared next to him. He rolled away, only to see Broken Sue rise and roar, beating his chest.
Holy shit! No! Oh God, no! Please, please!
What were your orders?
Nessa was suddenly right in his face, blocking out the others. Behind her back, she motioned for Edgar to come closer.
What were your orders?
Edgar loped the short distance and squatted down, his canines ghastly.
Get it away! Get that grotesque thing away!
Whoa! Well, that is a confidence buster.
What were your orders?
Sebastian opened the door, and in a moment, Syra jogged in with a large smile. Sebastian turned to Hollis.
Do you do anything in your human form other than look pretty and fight fiercely?
Nope. I used to be okay with that.
Nessa glanced at Syra.
Burn half his clothes off. Obviously, don't kill him or hurt him too badly, because we're not allowed to. But really give him hell.
Okay.
Syra shot a stream of white fire into his leg. She didn't seem to have understood the assignment. I grimaced, quickly getting to work healing him.
Call them off! Call them off!
He started to crawl away from Nessa, but the chair legs were still attached to him, making it difficult. Syra pounced onto his back, burning his clothes with her touch. He turned to the side to try to throw her off, and Neve raced up his body and bit down on his crotch.
I promised him his balls! Syra, that's... No, don't... Crap. This went tits up really quickly.
Ulrich jogged closer, grabbed the man by his hair, and tilted his head back.
Just tell us so we can get you out of here. That's a phoenix burning your clothes. Trust me when I say you don't want her to get free rein. This is nothing.
A rumbling roar echoed outside of the room. The ground shook a little, and I could feel the Bessa Howoon coming closer.
You want to get out of here, bro. Trust me.
Ulrich shook his head, inviting the mage to notice his brightly colored hair. That had seemed to freak out Edgar when he was under our spell and hiding in the shrubbery. Ulrich had actually been trying to help that time. He hadn't been successful.
Tell us what we need to know.
Ulrich moved to the side, showing the man Mr. Tom waiting by the door in his disguise. Then Broken Sue in his gorilla form on all fours with his mouth gaping. Then Austin, watching the scene stoically now, power rippling out all around him. The man started to hyperventilate and clutched at his chest.
Crap sticks! We might accidentally give him a heart attack.
She motioned Syra off him.
Give him a little space.
The Bassahaun burst into the room, his hair bristling all over his body.
No! No! Oh my God!
The man froze in fear, and then the word started pouring out.
I was supposed to sedate her and rendezvous with a jet at LAX. They were going to fly her to headquarters to question her about that meetup at Elliot Graves' place.
What do they want to know, specifically?
I don't know!
Guess!
His eyes were glued to the Bassahaun in blind terror. His mouth opened and closed a few times before words came out.
Word is, Momar wants to kill Graves before Graves builds momentum. First, he needs to find information on where to find him. A few people were at that meetup. He's got the location of one of the mages and is closing in on the other. She was the third and final piece, I think.
What do you know about her?
When he didn't immediately answer, the Bassahaun stepped closer.
Please, don't let that thing get me! Oh God, please!
Well, that makes me feel a little better about myself.
Edgar grinned at the Bassahaun.
It must be the spell, after all. I was nervous he was put off by me specifically.
What do you know about her?
Her location. That she's some sort of filthy creature. She beds animals, too. Disgusting.
His lip curled, and I barely kept myself from rushing over, ripping him up, and making a liar out of Nessa, who'd promised to preserve his balls.
How much power did they say she has?
They think she's a joke. Word is that Graves is playing games. He was always playing games before he went dark. Taunting. People are saying that he used that meetup and some strange magical creature he'd found to taunt Momar and the Guild. The Guild would have dealt with her, but they're letting Momar handle it. He wants that information first.
What about the pack? What did they tell you about the pack?
His confusion was evident.
The pack?
She shook him just as the Bassahaun roared.
Oh no! No! No!
The man started to flail again.
Please! Please!
The Shifter Pack. The Shifters in this town. What do you know about them?
He waved his hands in front of his face to keep the Bassahaun out of sight, then just covered his eyes and started swearing softly to himself.
Holy shit. Holy shit.
Back off.
Nessa waved the Bassahaun farther away. She repeated the question.
Nothing. I don't know anything, I swear. It's just a Shifter Pack. They've got a couple of strong animals, but what pack doesn't? It's nothing. It wasn't a concern.
Is he coming for this pack?
I don't understand the question! Why would he? The pack is nothing! Some upstart situation, I don't know! This is about Graves, not some filthy Shifters! No one cares about them!
What else do you know?
But he was done. He curled up again and started screaming. Nessa straightened with a confused expression. She glanced at Sebastian.
Is there a way to temper that spell? Because this is a little overboard.
I mean, we tried it on Edgar. He went a little panicky and weird, but not too weird. You know, for him.
I didn't think it was this bad.
Neve changed back into her human form and grabbed her Moomoo.
Ah, that vampire is as old as dirt. Magic and spells affect him differently than they would a mage. Less power is probably better.
It doesn't work with less power.
We've gotten all we're going to get out of this one. He's lost the plot altogether.
We're definitely not following Jesse's original orders.
Nessa looked down at the man.
Then again, she is at fault, so I guess we're absolved of blame, right?
Well, okay. Bassahaun, can you help me carry him out? I need to get him into the trees before we let him loose.
I got here just in time.
The Bassahaun bent down and hauled the man up by one ankle.
I would have been sad to miss this.
There. See, Nessa? We don't even need a hook now.
So we don't. What do you know?
She looked around the room.
Even though it ended prematurely, I think we got way more out of him here than we would have with our crew, Sebastian. He's been schooled to resist painful magic. He might even have a spell against it we couldn't detect. He's low level, but they've clearly upped their game when it comes to training their people.
Yeah, good point. Okay, let's...
Austin grabbed Sebastian by the shirt as he was trying to get past and pulled the smaller man in close. Sebastian blasted a spell off nearly before I could get a defensive layer up. As it was, the spell shot harmlessly off Austin's shoulder. Sebastian's aim was still not great when he was under pressure.
That mage was here to capture my mate, take her to get questioned, and then killed. And you plan to let him loose? Whose side are you on, mage?
Neve snickered, heading for the door.
Told you so.
She didn't tell me so!
Sebastian stayed very still in Austin's grasp.
She didn't tell me so! She definitely did not tell me so! She told me, it'll be grand.
Didn't you hear the sarcasm, like?
She left the room.
I didn't. I swear I didn't. Please don't kill me!
It's fine. I put a calming hand on Austin's shoulder and tried like hell to cut off the thrumming magic still vibrating through my person. My gargoyle didn't seem appeased. Worse, Austin's display of protectiveness was spreading heat through my body that was hard to ignore. I swallowed and leaned into him.
It's okay. Let's meet at Ivy House and talk about it. I haven't been around, neither of you. That's my fault. Let's open the lines of communication. It's time to get control of all this.
He stared at Sebastian for one more tense beat before letting go. He waited for Sebastian to stagger away before he turned just slightly toward Broken Sue, who was nude and standing near the wall. For once, Nessa wasn't winking or poking fun at him. She watched the scene solemnly.
Leave the enemy mage in this room. He doesn't walk free until I say so. Keep the guard around the perimeter of the building. Load up the Ivy House crew, and you and Case meet us at Ivy House. I want you two with Nessa and Sebastian at all times until you're on Ivy House soil. If that means you need to carry them around like luggage while you see to your tasks, so be it. I want this territory locked down.
Broken Sue nodded and headed for his clothes. Austin slung an arm around me.
Ready?
He paused. He was giving me a moment to direct my crew so it wouldn't seem like he was taking over. Yeah? I made a circle with my finger, about to tell the Ivy House people to head to the cars. But the Bassa Hawoon unceremoniously flung the mage across the room. My mouth hung open as Edgar sidled a little closer to the mage.
We'll get to those doilies another time, okay?
Yeah.
I headed for the door. They'd figure it out. There was only so much weird a person could take, and this situation had tap-danced over that threshold in sparkly red slippers. I needed to get out of there. Once on the road, Austin glanced at me.
Sorry about that.
About what?
That was essentially your scene, and I usurped your command.
Leave it to you to apologize for what was basically securing the territory to ensure my safety. Especially after I tried, and will probably continue to try, to hijack your pack members.
I stepped into that interrogation when I shouldn't have.
When you strangled him, you mean? That greatly helped, actually.
I interrupted your mage's plans.
Which was logical, since no one even knows his plans. My fault for staying away.
And I took possession of the enemy mage, not as an alpha pair, but as a solo alpha.
I frowned. That part had obviously escaped me. Then again, I'd never cared about being a town alpha. Austin had given me that role. I was happy to let him handle the sticky stuff. He wouldn't see it that way, though. He lived by shifter rules, most of which I didn't know. His unwavering loyalty to me meant he wouldn't take it easy on himself. He wouldn't believe me when I said I didn't care, and he wouldn't forgive himself for not believing me. My heart swelled. The Ivy House heir could be in no better hands. I dropped my hand to his thigh and rubbed, making light of it.
It's your castle, baby. I like when you play king. Besides, your taking control of him is infinitely better than whatever Sebastian and the Bassa Hawoon would have cooked up. Especially the Bassa Hawoon. He might listen to me, but if Sebastian had said, "Don't pull his head off and see how far you can kick it," he'd be aiming for a head-kicking personal best before Sebastian got out the last word. A grin pulled at Austin's handsome face. He nodded slightly, and I knew I'd succeeded in letting him off the hook. But seriously, I'll definitely try to hijack more of your pack. Anyone who sheds blood on my behalf is offered that connection. Offered is the only word I can think of. I can't help doing it. I can't seem to stop it. I tried to pull it back with Case, but he'd accepted before I figured out how. And then, I just can't control it yet, but I'm working on it. Know that. He covered my hand with his.
I know. And I will assert my dominance every time you do. Your gargoyle is wrestling with my animal.
He slipped his hand off mine and reached for my thigh.
She's challenging him. She's challenging me.
His hand ran along my inner thigh until it brushed against my apex. A shock of fire coursed through my body. I sucked in a surprised breath and then widened my knees.
I like it. I like the push and pull of our power merging.
His fingers left me for a moment to yank free the button on my jeans. One-handed because he was still driving, something that only made it hotter. He pulled down the zipper before running his fingers along my skin. They dipped into the lacy fabric of my panties.
I like the rush of heat I feel from you in our bongs.
His fingers did lazy circles, stroking me.
I like the feeling when your gargoyle willingly submits and demands to be compensated for it.
His fingers sped up. I clutched the leather of the seat, my breath coming faster.
I like providing that compensation.
I let out a tortured moan as the ache for him increased beyond what I could bear. Without our bodies thoroughly entwined, it could never be enough. Not with him. Lost as I was to his ministrations, I didn't feel the car stopping. I did feel his hand ripping away, though, leaving me empty. My door opened, and then he was there, lifting me into his arms and covering my mouth with his.
You aren't gonna like what you see in the morning.
What does that mean? I'll always think you're the most handsome man I've ever seen. His lips curled as Ivy House opened the door for us. He took the stairs quickly, heading to my room.
I love you. Thank you, but that's not what I meant.
He kicked my bedroom door shut behind him and didn't wait to cross to the bed. He swung me around and let me slide down his body at the same time, his lips devouring mine. At any other time, I would have paused to ask what he meant, but I was desperate for him. I fumbled with the buttons on his pants as he pushed my jeans down. He bent, trailing his lips down my neck, giving me a little bite. He pulled my shirt from me, then unclasped my bra in no time. I grabbed fistfuls of his shirt and pulled, bunching the fabric at his shoulders. He leaned back to strip it off, allowing me to view his hard, gorgeous body. Only for a moment, though, because he immediately leaned in and started trailing scorching kisses down my skin. When he reached my knee, he pushed my legs open, and then his tongue was feathering my center. The pressure within me built higher, and dancing lights fluttered behind my eyes.
Not yet. Don't finish until I say you can.
He backed off a little, teasing me. Two fingers slid in deep as he gracefully rose, keeping me right where he wanted me, on that precipice, eager to jump, to fall. He hoisted me up and pushed me against the wall. His lips moved over mine, consuming me, and then he thrust. My world exploded in color. Sensations overwhelmed me. I rocked against him, feeling like I couldn't get close enough, begging him to end the torture, but at the same time desperate for it to go on.
Now, baby.
His body crashed into mine.
Come with me, now.
I shattered like a dropped crystal vase. My body shuddered against him violently, and he shook against me in return. I clenched my teeth as waves of pleasure swept me away, and then draped over him when they turned into blissful little aftershocks. He swayed where he stood,
his knees about to give out.
Let's just head over here for a moment.
He carried me to the bed and gently laid me down before curling his body around mine protectively.
I'm apprehensive. I'm worried mages will breach this territory and I won't be enough to protect you. I'm scared of what I'd become if I lost you. You are everything to me, Jacinta. It would destroy me if something happened to you. I would burn down the world if something happened. I wouldn't apologize for the fallout.
My heart lurched, and I flattened my palm on his forearm. I think you and my gargoyle have something in common.
And your gargoyle and you have something in common. Only those worthy of the magic may wield it. That worthiness doesn't just hinge on the ability to deal with an eccentric crew. There is a distinct ferocity in you. Jane culture might have made you squash it down until it was hidden from sight, telling you women should be demure and polite and please others, but it's there. I will drag it out of you kicking and screaming if I must.
I've risen to the occasion, haven't I? I've been in enough battles by now to prove I can handle it.
No, you've been in enough battles to prove that you can be goaded into action. That's not the same. You're still working through that Jane passivity. Time to stop thinking like a Jane lady and start thinking like an Ivy House lady. Time to stop doing as you're told by weak-willed morons with fragile egos and too much power. Time to take up a sword and, if someone bothers you, cut off whatever's dangling. The safety of your people and your territory depend upon it. Shrug off the cloak of other people's expectations and rise to your true potential. No one can tear you down if you refuse to let them.
I realize that probably isn't easy to hear.
Austin must have mistaken my rolling emotions and silence as a reaction to his declaration. Before I could set him straight, he continued.
I'll do anything for you, but I won't hurt you. That magic you possess, there's something off-kilter about it. I know you heard or felt that too when it was trying to get you to take it. Unlike me, though, you're light and pure and good, counteracting its effects.
Ivy House doesn't seem to think so. She's urging me to lop off people's dangling bits.
I explained what she'd said.
Ah.
He snuggled a little closer.
There's another reason I don't want to take that magic. I need to address the alphas of the other packs as myself. As a shifter, nothing more. Once we're united, I can don the cape and use the superpower. Not before. Because if I do lose myself to the power, I need to make sure someone can take me down. A united pack with you at their helm should be able to handle that.
I blinked my suddenly wet eyes. The extent to which he didn't trust himself, and the precautions he was taking to protect me if he should break, squeezed my heart. I didn't comment, though. I didn't really know what to say. So I lightened the mood. Will your cape be black and a little raggedy like Mr. Tom's wings?
Damn it, why did I use that metaphor?
I ran my hand along his arm where it had snaked around me.
I just want you to understand where I'm at.
He kissed my shoulder. I do, trust me. If I can find this hidden, very violent ferocity that Ivy House thinks I have, maybe I can temper the crazy of this house and my crew. But now, it's much easier to just walk away.
He laughed as Ivy House piped up again.
You think someone without a mean streak can call in a phoenix and a thunderbird? Especially that phoenix and thunderbird? Get your head out of your ass.
Ivy House is starting to sound like Neve.
Well, we do have the same goal. To get your head out of your ass.
I really want to move into your place. It's so serene there, so devoid of a pushy magical house.
Pushy? A useless Jane term. You want pushy? Here you go. Here's pushy.
An electric pulse lit me up from the inside and ballooned out. It wasn't my magic, though. Not directly, anyway. It was coming from the heart of the house. The magic I had essentially awakened. It happened two more times, each time vibrating through me and seeming to signal outward. I knew where this was going. I knew what Ivy House was doing. Oh, crap!
What is it?
She was issuing a challenge on my behalf. Her target was the enemy mage and anyone directly connected with him. Given that he was a peon, thankfully, we wouldn't be climbing the ladder too high. They were still mages, though. When, if, the enemy mage checked in with his boss and their crew, the challenge would be solidified. The mages would be unable to resist reacting to it. I was essentially saying, come and get me, I'll be waiting. My chest tightened. Where are the others? We have some things to discuss.